The 12, the original apostles, were 12 men with a dream. A dream of carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to the utter ends of the earth. And they were leaders called by Christ for that purpose. And yet they found themselves very quickly overwhelmed as the Christian movement gained in number. And in fact, it wasn't long before the Greek-speaking folks were complaining about the Jewish-raised Jews because their widows weren't getting quite as much of the daily distribution of food. The apostles did not try to defend themselves. Rather, they admitted, "Look, we're not great administrators." However, set aside 7 men full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit that you have confidence in. Give them those administrative tasks that we might continue to do what we were called to do, preach and to teach the Word of God. And so the early church, taking that advice, appointed 7 deacons, from the word diakona meaning service, to take those administrative duties that would free the apostles to get about their spiritual business. Now, Russell mentioned leaders. My guess is most of you can name many of the prominent deacon leaders: Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, Thomas, Judas Iscariot even. And I imagine you might even can name a couple of leaders among the deacons. Stephen, for sure. Philip. But what can you tell me about Prochorus, or Timon, or Parmenas, or Nicanor, or Nicolaus of Antioch? The answer is nothing. Because the truth is, we know virtually nothing about any of those men. They were respected, they were given responsibility, they seemed to be people of the Holy Spirit and strength, but they were forgotten by history. And yet they fulfilled their roles of service and helped further the kingdom of God. As we move toward our Independence Day celebration, you're going to hear names like George Washington, and Abraham and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. But are you going to hear the name of a man whom Jefferson said never said a foolish thing in his life? A man of whom it was said he had more common sense than anyone I've ever known. A man who's the only one to have signed the 4 original American documents of American sovereignty: the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, the Articles of Association, and the U.S. Constitution. You think you're going to hear the name of a man who started out as a shoemaker and then became a surveyor because he liked math? And then became a lawyer because he liked helping people? You think you're going to hear the name of a man named Roger Sherman? A common sense Connecticut politician who proposed the compromise upon which our nation's legislature is founded. A compromise that allows for one house of the legislature to be equally represented by state, regardless of size. And a House of Representatives where people are represented by the number of people in those states. That compromise, proposed by common sense Roger Sherman, has been the foundation of our legislative constitution since that time. Not because he was a brilliant genius, he wasn't. He was just a common sense man with a common sense solution to a very difficult problem that put our nation on the way. question this morning, my friends, is how many of us who are just common sense people, ordinary people, people who are not geniuses or extraordinarily talented, but we have common sense. And in our own giftedness, we can make impact for the kingdom of God. The reason why common sense people succeed where more gifted people fail is because often they draw from a wealth of experience. Historians point to one day in the 20th century as being the most decisive day of the 20th century. June 6th. 1944, the invasion of Normandy. Dwight Eisenhower said the problem of that tremendous challenge was presenting, delivering the powers of liberation to the shores of Normandy, and to create boats that could do that without running aground on the shallow beaches. So Eisenhower commissioned the Navy. They couldn't create such ships. It commissioned high-profile engineering firms from the East Coast. They couldn't do it. And so along came a Louisiana swamp rat by the name of Andrew Higgins. And Higgins was used to creating boats for oil companies in Louisiana. And Higgins created boats that could deliver the forces of liberation to Normandy shores. Somebody asked Dwight Eisenhower what was the key to World War II, and he said Andrew Higgins was the most important figure of World War II. He won the war for us. Now, when you think about the great heroes of World War II, Andrew Higgins' name is never mentioned. But this common sense man, drawing from his common experience of creating swamp boats, played a key role in the liberation of Europe and securing a victory. Common sense people create movement. When you think about Christianity and how it developed, you need to understand something as you study the book of Acts. There was no grand plan. There was a great idea. Go into all the ends of the earth, baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am with you always. That was the plan. That was the ambition, but there was no grand plan. Think about it. Paul and Barnabas thought it was a great idea to go into Asia Minor and visit where there were Jewish congregations and spread the news of Jesus Christ. They did that on their own courage initially. There was no plan. Philip, that deacon, thought it was a great idea to evangelize an Ethiopian eunuch and baptize him into the faith. He saw an opportunity and he took it. Nameless Christians in Antioch and Damascus found that Gentiles were eager to hear the word of Jesus Christ, and so they began to preach it, and the gospel spread. There was no grand plan. Individuals saw an opportunity, exercised their initiative and their creativity and their common sense, and created a way out of no way. You have your own talents, your own experience, your own perspective, however meager or ordinary they might be, your common sense might be just the thing needed to advance the kingdom of God, even in Macon, Georgia. I go back to that D-Day moment, that decisive moment in history. And a great historian has noted an amazing irony. The Axis powers of Germany on that day, only one person had authority to make decisions, and that was Adolf Hitler, and he was asleep. On the other hand, Eisenhower realized that the success of his plan, however detailed, depended on the initiative and competence of individuals. And one individual, a lieutenant named Rockwell, was noticing that the scheme for dropping off tanks was ridiculous. The tanks were dropping into the ocean like rocks. And so he radioed all of the tank commanders, "You follow me." And he took his boat with tanks right up onto the shore, and all of the other boats followed him, and those tanks were delivered. In other words, one of the most decisive decisions in the most decisive battle in the 20th century was made by a mere lieutenant. And all he did was exercise common sense. That at the heart of our theology is this notion that you and I have been endowed by God with the competency of soul to exercise our common sense to solve problems, to create solutions, to make ways out of no way. So often as Christians, we look at the challenges of the world and we think, oh, we have too few resources. We don't have enough resources to challenge, to meet the challenge. You ever seen the movie Apollo 13? Great, great movie. About an ill-fated Apollo voyage where three astronauts were threatening to be killed, threatened to die of carbon monoxide poisoning. And they called in the NASA rocket scientist. And they said, we have to create a way to cleanse the filter that allowed them to breathe without harm. And they gave them a sock, a plastic cover, a hose taken off an excess uniform, and duct tape. And they said, create something that will save their lives. Billions of dollars spent on that mission. And the lives of those astronauts depended on duct tape. But those rocket scientists used their common sense to create an apparatus that would allow those astronauts to breathe. You and I don't need to worry and bemoan what we don't have. Rather, let's use our creativity and initiative and common sense to use all the things that God has given us to allow people to breathe the air of the Holy Spirit. Go back to the moment in the early church. The 12 had been given authority and power by God, but they didn't keep it to themselves. They recruited the 7. The 7 went out and recruited others. This movement that began as a Jewish movement quickly moved into a Jewish Gentile movement, and then from there into a Gentile movement, because people took advantage of opportunities using their common sense and their creativity and their initiative and their courage to exploit what chances came their way. Christianity evolved because the environment evolved. You and I have been empowered by God with the competency of soul to use our courage and initiative and common sense to create ways where there are no ways. And in our polarized world, in our polarized country, we need to be a people of the Spirit who find a way across the chasm of estrangement to create solutions, to solve problems rather than create them. Oliver Wendell Holmes, a distinguished jurist at the end of the Civil War, said, after the bloodshed of the Civil War, we shied away from ideologues and fanatics because they only created problems. And we knew we needed leaders who could solve them. In this world of polarization, we as Christians have to pattern for the world how to dialogue in a world where everybody thinks they are right, and only they are right. We have to find a way to bridge that estrangement and create solutions that solve problems rather than create them. That's our mission. I really don't believe biblical archaeologists are going to discover a great deal more information about Parmenas or Timon or Nicanor or Nicolaus of Antioch. I don't think we're going to find out a whole lot more about Bartholomew or Joseph, son of Alphaeus. But each of those men, in their own way, in their own day, filled their post, did their job, used what skills they had, meager though they might be, to further the Christian story. We can learn from their example. You may not think you've been enormously endowed by God with great spiritual gifts. You may consider yourself very ordinary. But you have a perspective. You have experience. You have your own unique talent. You have your own common sense. And you can use those gifts to make a great blow, a great contribution to the living kingdom of God. As ordinary as we may be, we can fulfill the role of just common sense Christians. May we pray together. Lord, you've given us examples of ordinary people who did extraordinary things. May we learn from them using what gifts you've given us, not bemoaning what we don't have, but using what we do, that we might do great things. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.